Hi, my name is Dave. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from PTSD and finding comfort through pornography and alcohol. So glad to be with you tonight because I need Jesus and I need your help in pointing me to him. I was driving with my family about 10 years ago. I have four daughters and my two youngest daughters were with us at the time, but they were about college age. We'd spent the Christmas holidays with the grandparents. We had a unique snowmageddon here in Texas, which if you've been in Texas anytime at all, you realize these things happen once in a while. And on the way back home, one of my daughters had a boyfriend in the town that we had scheduled to meet for lunch. And so we went to the city where he was in. He found the only restaurant that was open. I wasn't really excited about spending time with him, but my daughter was. And as we got close to the town, there were snowdrifts so tall and high that we couldn't get into the city. So I took multiple different roads trying to get in, and finally, exasperated, I just announced to the family, "We're not going, we're going home." And I looked in the rearview mirror and I saw my daughter's face just go downcast and she began to cry, and I lost my mind. I was so angry. I stopped the car, I took out the keys and I said, "Anybody else want to drive this car?" No response. I said, "Okay, if nobody else wants to drive this car, maybe somebody else wants to be the dad of this family." And then it only got more ridiculous. I said, "Maybe someone wants to drive the car, someone wants to be the dad of the family, maybe somebody wants to lead a church." And then I went into this tirade like a madman of how difficult my life was and how hard it was, all these expectations that were crushing down on me and how wrong it was for anyone in my family to ask me to do anything. And then I personalized the snowstorm so much, I made it clear that I thought this was just another thing that God was allowing to happen in my life to make it tough. No matter the fact that there are people homeless on the streets that were gonna be in the snow that night, this was all about me. And when I finished with my rant, I looked at my wife's face and my two daughters, and they were weeping. And they were scared. And not knowing what else to do, I started the engine up again and I drove the family the rest of the 5 hours home in silence. No one said a word. No one dared to. And we got home. My wife kindly, gently pulled me aside and she said, "Honey, that was not okay. There was nothing about that that was good." And then she said to me some very important things. She said, "You need Jesus. You need to talk to Jesus and figure out what in the world is going on, that you would do something like that." And then she also suggested that I talk to somebody. And I thought about it for a split second and I just said, "No, I got this." And I moved forward. And in that instance, I didn't act with humility, I acted with pride. I didn't act with wisdom, I acted in foolishness. We began a new series here at Region a few weeks ago, looking at the Proverbs and this idea of wisdom. A simple definition of wisdom in Scripture is simply this: wisdom is living God's way in God's world. The Bible says wisdom is so valuable, we should pursue it like a treasure, or it's such a great companion, we should seek to marry wisdom. And a couple weeks ago, we saw that the starting point of wisdom was at the cross of Jesus Christ. The most wise thing God has ever done, and he's perfectly wise, is give us an opportunity for forgiveness and freedom through Jesus at the cross. What I want to cover tonight is real simple, real straightforward, and that is also, not only does the wisdom have a starting place at the cross of Jesus, it has a standard posture, which is lowly and humble. Let me read this to you from Proverbs 11:2. "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom." There's several other places in the Bible that even go so far as to say, God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. I don't know about you, my life is hard enough as it is. I don't need to invite in the opposition of God through pride. I want to be humble. So two questions for us to look at real quickly tonight. First question is simply, what is humility? And then secondly, how does it work? Turn with me if you do have a Bible. If not, no big deal. We'd love to give you one. If you don't have a Bible, come see me or come see any of the leaders in Region and we'll give you a Bible before you leave here tonight. But let me read for you a scripture that will be projected behind us because we see humility ultimately in the person of Jesus. This is from Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3-8. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Pride has two components to it, according to this text. One is you consider yourself better than others. If you struggle with pride, if you know someone who does, oftentimes pride is a perspective that sees himself or herself is better than others. The second component, though, of pride is you're concerned only with yourself and your own needs. And so as we look to a definition of humility, there's two things that we're told here. One is we should consider others better than ourselves. Now, I want you to understand the Bible speaks that we're all created in God's image. Each one of us has equal dignity and worth. And so this doesn't mean that you're less valuable than others. It just means when you look across the room, you esteem others as more valuable than yourself. The other thing is about humility is it's not only concerned for himself or herself, it's concerned with the interest of others. In any way, there we go. How about that? Talk about Jesus and everything. It's better, right? I should have started there. Thanks. We got a great team that's able to troubleshoot in a minute like that. Thank you. Jesus is God. The Bible teaches that God is triune. There are three persons, one God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son added to his divinity humanity. Jesus became a man. He lived the perfect life you and I can't live. He died the death we all deserve to die on the cross. And he was risen from the grave and he humbled himself. Although equal with God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. And then he did something else. He concerned himself with the interest of others. He goes to the cross in obedience to his Father for his Father's glory and for our good, and there he dies in our place. And so you and I see together, when we think in terms of what does it mean to be humble, if we want to be wisdom, and wisdom has a standing posture that's lowly and humble, where do we go? Where do we start? We look at Jesus. But I want you to see something from this text that maybe you didn't catch right away that's really good news. Because not only is Jesus our model for humility, he's the means to it. Do you see that? When anyone ever tells you be like Jesus, do you feel a little sense of like, yeah, I know I'm trying, I can't do it. I feel that way, I resonate with that. Look at this verse again. Look if you would, verse 5, one more time. Listen to this. This is such good news, don't miss this. Have this mind among yourselves, which is what? Yours. Which is yours, which is mine, which is ours, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Here's the wonderful reality of what it means to be a Christian, that once you and I have this new life that we love to talk about at Regen, we have this union with Jesus. We live for him in all that we do, in everything we do. We live in what the Bible refers to as the sphere that's in Christ. There's no divided part of your life if you're a Christian. There's not some things you do that are secular and some things you do that's sacred. All that you do is done in Christ, and Christ is in us. Jesus lives in us. And so what the scripture says is, as we are being transformed into people who think, feel, speak, and act like Jesus, it's actually Jesus living his life in us and through us. So we have this mindset, which is ours in Jesus. I hope that's good news to you tonight. Because I know as I look at myself, there's nothing in me intrinsically that's humble. If I'm going to live a humble life, then I need Jesus, and I need to have his mind, I need to have his heart, I need to have his words and his hands and his feet. He has to live through me in every way, if in any way, I'm going to be humble. How does humility work? Here's what I want you to think about. It's our final thought tonight. Humility is not a goal to be achieved, but it's a gift to be received. Humility is not about trying harder. That's not what it's about at all. The difference between trying harder and trusting more is the difference between pride and humility. You and I, we grow in humility when we invite by faith Jesus to live in us and through us and to give us his mind, which the scripture says is already ours. All we're doing is receiving something that he's already given to us, and we begin to think like him, and we begin to see things the way that he sees things. Where are you tonight? You're struggling with pride? Let me encourage you that humility is a gift to be received. I had another opportunity a few years later. I was doing an interview with a reporter who was asking me some questions about a massive and spectacular church failure I was a part of. And I was speaking to him on a phone in a different room, and I walked into our hallway, and once again, my wife saw me, and she stopped in her tracks, and she looked at me, and she said, "Dave, do I need to take you to the ER? I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Go look at yourself in the mirror." And this was December. I went and looked in the mirror, totally had pitted out my shirt. You could see the pulse beating in my neck, and I was whiter than normal. I was white as a ghost. And she said again, those same words, "I think you need to seek Jesus, and I think you need to talk to someone." And it was shortly after that that I was diagnosed with PTSD and began the process by faith of experiencing the healing of Jesus in my life. I'm not there yet. I've got a ways to go. But he's faithful and he's helpful and we can trust in him. Here's what I want to do tonight as we wrap this time up. I want to preview, if you haven't gone through the steps yet, I want to review if you already have. What I'm really talking about when it comes to humility are first three steps where we admit we need God's grace. I can't do this on my own. I need you, Jesus. Second thing we do is we believe that God is who he says he is in his word. We believe that all that God is for us in Jesus. Then the third step is we trust him. We trust him to help us. Two things I want you to do tonight. Will you lean into Jesus? Christian, will you lean into Jesus? Will you trust him? If you're here tonight and you're not yet a Christian, I am so glad you're here. I want to invite you to lean into Jesus too. Will you trust him? You may be here tonight and you're so broken. Let me give you a picture of what Jesus wants to do in your life. He wants to transform you. It's very possible as you trust in him tonight that you're going to be in the same place a year from now, and you're going to be experiencing the forgiveness that he brings and the freedom that he brings into your life, and you're going to be in a position to help others. Wouldn't that be amazing? That's who Jesus is and that's what he does. Here's the second thing I want to ask you to do, not only to lean into Jesus, but listen to others. One of the key characteristics of being humble is listening to others. There are leaders that are gathered here tonight that are gonna spend time with you in small groups. They love you. They care deeply about you. They're not better than you. They just happen to be further down the path of their spiritual journey. They have some incredible things that they wanna share with you. Will you listen to them?